This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for coming by the show. We truly appreciate you. We're going to be talking about clearance jobs. We're going to talk to one of our favorite experts, and we're going to be talking about what's going on in terms of with this whole dynamic, the government shutdown, with budgets being cut. How is it impacting the cleared job community? How is it impacting employers? Is it having an impact? Are employers laying off? Are employers still hiring? Are they still looking for people? There are many people who are saying that they're getting contingent offers if they have clearances, but they're not getting solid offers. So what is the impact, both short-term and long-term? We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com, and he's one of our regular guests on the show. Evan, thank you for coming on Fed Access.
Derek, my pleasure. Thank you.
Always. Evan, talk to us about what are you seeing with this government shutdown? I mean, I don't think any of us completely predicted that it would go on this long. I think a lot of us thought it would just, be maybe a day or so, and then Congress and the battle between the Congress and president would kind of die itself down. But it seems as if this thing may go on a lot longer than any of us had anticipated. What's the impact?
Well, I think the folks in the Metro D.C. area definitely know better than anyone else that this is a very real thing. We talk to candidates, job seekers, on a daily basis, and I think what we've heard most often since the government shutdown is so many people have been furloughed. There have been notices coming up that layoffs could be happening if this government shutdown is extended. There's just a whole lot of uncertainty in the marketplace, and that really makes employers hesitant to hire or to commit to hiring, and as far as a cleared professional goes, really makes them open their eyes and start taking a look at other options. So it's very, very widespread. If you get outside of the D.C. area, it's just as prevalent. We've got candidates from California, Ohio, Florida, Georgia, Texas, Colorado, contacting us and saying, I'm furloughed. I'm currently off of my job, not sure when I'm going to come back. So it's looking pretty bleak.
I've had some people contact me just as well, Evan, and say, listen, I am furloughed right now. I'm looking for part-time work. I'm looking for some other jobs right now because, for a person who is, even though they may have a clearance or other things like that, for any kind of job seeker, being off of work a week or two and not necessarily getting a check for a week or two could have a major impact on their lives. Is that what you're hearing from people?
A lot of it depends on the positions too, but, people don't seem to understand a lot of times that your average cleared professional is not, pulling down a $100,000 a year salary. They're doing some, pretty ordinary stuff, whether it be systems administration or working HVAC in a facility or a security guard or whatever the case may be. There's so many positions that are really fairly equivalent to non-cleared work out there, and these people aren't making a huge amount of money. So, having 6-7 days, however many, without pay at this point, can really put them into a bind. General Alexander was talking, I think it was just last week, stating that a large portion of the intelligence workforce has been furloughed, and that it's kind of decreased intelligence capabilities. So it's a little frightening to think about something like that. But something else he mentioned kind of struck as important with me is he mentioned that you know, furloughs take money out of workers' pockets, and it makes them more susceptible to coercion. And, you know, we all know that this year has been a really bad one in terms of government cybersecurity and intelligence leaks, and anything that happens that makes people more susceptible to coercion is really, you know, kind of kicking the man when he's down.
You know, and I think you bring a good point. I was having a conversation today about government and also the attractability of government, especially for high talent workers. I mean, those who are looking at maybe cybersecurity or engineers or software engineers and other people who are, you know, being sought after by the private sector just as much as they're being sought after by the public sector. I mean, do you think that this scenario right now that's going on, is this going to create a window or a pocket of us losing that high level talent, because they're saying, listen, you know, people thought that defense and national security and the government, and whether it be working in the government or working as a government contractor, was probably more the secure side of the business, but now it's seeming like it's not. And so therefore maybe I should go to the private sector and put, you know, my talents to use there.
You hit the nail on the head. There's a few things at play here. The first one is, you know, you and I have been talking for many years, and if you think about what's dominated our conversations up until the last year, it was always about, you know, how strong the contractor workforce was, and, mm-hmm. and how much of a great opportunity it was for people to be moving from government service over to the contracting side. You know, in 2013, that's not necessarily the case, but sticking with a government job is not really proving to be any more secure than it has been in the past. So there's been a lot of things at play this year that have really hammered hard on government and in the contracting world. And we're kind of putting things together and kind of noting that 2013 has been kind of a perfect storm of negative components that have really hurt defense, intelligence, and homeland security industries.
You know, with all of that, you know, and you were kind of mentioning about the dynamics of, you know, and implying about, you know, Snowden and Bradley Manning and other people in terms of the security risk of this. And you know, when you put people in jeopardy financially, it does become a security risk. I mean, you know, with this culture and climate, if and, you know, do you think that people in Congress and I don't know what, to be honest, it's a tad bit frightening, but do you think that a lot of them are just not understanding the true impact? You know, everybody says, hey, we can go out, we can let the debt ceiling do this, that. Do you really think that there's a disconnect between, you know, those who are really out there doing the work and those people in Congress, that they don't really, you know, see the pain, they don't really see the impact? You know, they hear it or get the briefings, but it doesn't become real to them?
Yeah, the disconnect is really huge, and unfortunately, I think that 2013 has kind of showed us that we don't really start talking about it until something really bad happens. So the Snowden case all of a sudden brought to light the ongoing debate between should certain positions be inherently governmental, should they be contractors, should they be civil servants. Also brings up the, you know, the questions of what does the security clearance process look like? What have we been doing to fix it or to modernize it? Where have some of the problems come out? You know, on top of that, you've got things like the Snowden case and the Bradley Manning trial is really creating sowing a lot of distrust in government from the general public. You mentioned a couple of minutes ago, what about the cybersecurity workforce? Well, as you and I have discussed many times, cybersecurity was kind of one of the bright areas for a long time, but that was really pre-Snowden. And what's happened this year is that, you know, the pool of cleared U.S. citizens that have certain certifications in cybersecurity has really dwindled incredibly. You've got an already small talent pool, but then what you've added on to that is this perfect storm of things that have happened this year. If you take a look at the average cybersecurity worker or the average person with that type of talent, and they're not working for government or contractors, and you ask them, hey, would you like to have a job working for the NSA or working for one of the NSA contractors? The first instinct is, heck no.
Wow.
You know, they're really seen in such a negative light, considering what's gone on this year.
Right.
So you're asking if Congress is paying attention. They're not. But, you know, at some point in the near future, there's going to be some level of a cyber attack that is going to really open up their eyes, and they're going to be wondering, why don't we have a workforce in place? And the answer is really clear as day. It's right in front of them, but it's not the kind of thing that they're going to notice until it's a little bit too late.
That's really, really scary. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He's the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. You can find it again at ClearanceJobs.com. What I said, it's a job site for the CLEAR community. If you have a security clearance, it's where you can post your resume and find various employers, whether it be government or government contractors, who are looking to hire you and bring you aboard in doing you know, the vital work of the nation. We're talking about how this impact of the government shutdown, of these budget cutbacks, or the sequester. What's the impact on the contract community? What's the impact on the government right now? We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we're talking about an important issue right now. We're talking about jobs. We're talking about the CLEAR jobs that work for our government, those who work in our government, those who work in our government contracting firms. Many of those jobs are dealing with cybersecurity, intelligence. Many of those jobs deal with some of the vital support aspects of providing services to our military, whether it be administrative support, logistics support, anything. These things are having an impact by the government shutdown right now, by budget cutbacks, by sequester, and all these things that are going on within our Congress and our nation right now. We're talking about this with Evan Lesser. He's the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com, which is a job site focused in on the CLEAR community. They have a number of resources on there, some resume templates and resume formatting stuff, resume builders. You can post your resume on there if you're a job seeker. If your employer is where you can find the people who have the top talent in the CLEAR community. Evan, you know, we were talking about this the impact, and not only in terms of reputation, you know, because that's where it seems as if, especially for a younger generation, the reputation of government and government service is taking a serious hit right now. Like you mentioned about the Snowden with NSA, we mentioned about this whole shutdown scenario. People are not, you know, people who have maybe the high yield talent who government agencies are going to need, they're probably looking at the government as like a no-go scenario, as a place to not work for. When you look at employers, I mean, and you hear this, and are you hearing the concerns from employers about, you know, how are we going to address this? Are you hearing this from government agencies or, you know, some of the bigger or mid-sized contracting firms? What are they saying?
Yeah, we're really hearing it from both sides. You know, government agencies like the NSA, CIA, FBI, Defense Department, they're all in pretty desperate need of a good public relations makeover at this point. You know, what we've seen in talking to candidates this year especially is that they're just not looking at government jobs or jobs with contractors as being, you know, kind of the golden ticket that it was in the past, between furloughs and budget cuts and all this uncertainty. It's really kind of equated to such a sour mood among these, you know, these workers. When you talk about cybersecurity specifically, you know, that was one of the bright spots last year, the year before. So many open positions, so many people trying to get into that field, and you know, pretty much know that they're going to be guaranteed a really secure job with a government or a contractor. But there's been a couple of things that have, you know, really changed. We talked briefly about the public's mood towards government agencies and towards privacy and everything that the Snowden case has kind of revealed. But there's kind of an alternate issue as well. I think the field of cybersecurity is unique in that, you know, many people who are kind of considered the nation's like most talented, you know, gurus on cybersecurity, mm-hmm. cyber attack and defense, You know, they've kind of broken various laws in the process of developing their you know, unique skill set. Hacking into, you know, protected networks is a great challenge, but obviously very illegal. The same goes for cracking copyrighted software or tapping into someone's Wi-Fi service or entering some computer system without authorization. Now, these are fairly common activities for cybersecurity experts to engage in, to learn and to test their abilities, but those same activities can make them, you know, obviously very unsuitable to receive a federal security clearance.
Hmm. You know, with all of that, I mean, you kind of, you know, really, really touched on something, because sometimes the best people, we see it in TV shows, you know, we see the criminal now working for the FBI or, you know, we see this on TV all the time. And now, you know, us using their talents now to go against the bad guys. But in real life, that's not really the case. You know, it doesn't really work that way. And so what it almost seems as if some of the best talent out there would automatically be deemed unsuitable going through a security clearance process. So we're going to lose them either to the private sector, or we may lose them even more to a life of crime. I mean, is that what you're noticing or saying?
Well, I don't know if a life of crime is necessarily the case, but, you know, cybersecurity in many cases is about attack and it's about defense. So you've got trying to exploit vulnerabilities in a system in order to protect them. You've got attack where you're trying to figure out some way to go against an entity that may be trying to attack a system. So, you know, so much of this is really, you know, falling into this category of illegal activities. And it's very unique in the fact that, you know, the government and contracting community really requires people with these talents. But to develop these talents really sufficiently, a lot of people have broken the law to do so. So they're really getting into the point where the government is really in a quandary. You know, we mentioned the public relations issue, but even if there was no public relations issue, you've got a large percentage of the cyber workforce that has done something illegal in development of their skills and would be denied a clearance. And it just makes that talent pool of workers even smaller.
Do you think, Evan, I mean, as you're kind of talking about this and as you're hearing the concerns, do you think that we need to change up something in the security clearance process to kind of say that, yeah, you may have done something bad and maybe some exceptions? I mean, do we need to possibly take another look? And even with the Snowden case and Bradley Manning and other areas, do you see that, you know, whether it be OPM or, you know, FIS, Federal Investigation Services, or anyone, DOD, do you see that people are talking about, do we need to change up some of the security clearance processes to maybe, one, ask some more questions to determine more patriotism, but then maybe loosen up a little bit on if somebody has done a couple of things in the past that gave them the skills that we need?
Yeah, I think you're definitely right in that some changes to the questioning would really have to be made, because if you're really looking for top talent in cybersecurity, you're going to pretty much negate the large portion of workers simply due to the things that they may have engaged in. So that questioning does need to change, and there does need to be some leniency if the government and contracting community wants to bring some of these folks on board. And again, we're not talking about the public perception of government agencies that are doing this intelligence gathering work. That's kind of another story. But just to bring these people on board and actually get them a clearance, there's going to have to be some kind of leniency. You know, the clearance process has changed over time. It's usually takes a pretty long amount of time for certain things to change. I'm thinking specifically about mental health considerations. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, if you had mental health issues, there's no way you're getting a clearance.
Right.
Now, going to counseling, being on antidepressants, things of that nature are really commonplace. And, you know, the government relaxed its stance to some degree on those items when getting a clearance. So there's going to need to be some kind of a change in order to bring some of these cybersecurity workers on board.
You know, with all of that, Evan, and, you know, and when we're talking about this budget scenario right now, and we're talking about the government shutdown, are the people who are deemed critical from these government contractors, are they still, I mean, are you hearing that that they're still able to stay aboard? Or also, are some of these contracting firms, are they still in a, you know, do they still have money allocated before the government shut down where they're still able to hire? I mean, what are you seeing in terms of the state of the employers right now?
Well, you know, what we had heard is really on the first day of the government shutdown from the contracting community, we heard huge numbers of workers getting furloughed at this same exact time as government employees. So, you know, there was no time delay. There was no we have enough funding to keep you on the job. If the government says their employees are being furloughed, then the contractors are right there along with them. You know, some people have been brought back on the job, and I know in the past day or so, we've heard that people who have been furloughed will get back pay whenever they do get back on the job, which is great news. You know, you're correct. The contract community has really kind of fallen directly in line with civil servants in terms of being off the job. They're not faring any better.
Wow. We need to take a quick break. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. We're talking about a scenario right now that is quite scary. A number of things going on with the government shutdown, but also now the reputation of the government being kind of tarnished, you know, especially to new candidates. I mean, the people who we need, the young generation who's coming out, who may have the cyber skills, maybe not finding government or government service or working for a government agency or government contractor as attractive right now because of all the different things that they've heard, whether it be privacy issues or whether it be stability issues within the federal government. We're talking about all of these things and what's the impact of government contractors, what's the impact on government service as we go forward. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dorch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking about a number of different issues about the government shutdown and how is it impacting employers? All of these government contractors who are out there who really is a great, great deal of the federal workforce, not only in the Washington, D.C. area, but all over in Colorado, in Hawaii, in various parts of the Midwest and the South and out in the West Coast. Government workers and government contractors are everywhere, and they're having an impact on these employees, and the money's coming into their pockets. Many of them are calling right now and trying to say, listen, what do I do? I've been furloughed, and this is having an impact on their paychecks, and it may have a long-term impact, not just on these workers, but also the reputation of the federal government and reputation of the government contract community. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He's the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com, a job site focused for the clear community where employers can find clear candidates, but also job seekers can find jobs in the clear community, working on a number of different issues, everything from cyber intelligence, but also supporting mission support issues and everything else. Evan, as we look forward, you know, there will be a moment in time, and we don't know when this is going to happen, when, you know, the government shutdown will be over. You know, as we look forward and maybe kind of speculate and forecast towards the future, how do you feel? I mean, are you feeling positive? Are you feeling bleak right now? I mean, are you, you know, from what you're getting from employers right now, are they feeling positive? Are they feeling a little bit bleak about what's going to happen as we go into 2014 and maybe, and, you know, because it seems as if the budget issues is going to be a conversation that is not going to end.
Yeah, you're right. It's definitely not going to end. And I think you touched on something before our last break is the thoughts of people who may be starting off their careers and trying to figure out, you know, where do I go? Do I go public sector? Do I potentially work for a government or a government contractor? And, you know, the budget issues that have been going on, the government shutdown, all the talk about the debt ceiling, it just weighs really heavy on people, and it really creates a bad taste in the mouth of young workers who are trying to look for their first jobs. And, you know, like it or not, there's a ton of folks that are retiring and leaving federal service and leaving the contracting world, and they got to be replaced. And, you know, you and I were talking a little bit earlier about the kind of public relations makeover that government and the intelligence agencies need in order to start attracting people again. Shutdown surely does not help that. The other thing you can kind of add into the mix is what's going on in 2013 has really kind of tarnished the overall view of contractors and contracting companies. So, you know, at first we had Ed Snowden, and people started to ask, hey, what was a contractor doing in this position? How did he get his clearance? It seems like there were some clear signs, you know, and the debate over should it be a contractor doing this job or should it be a civil servant was brought to light, but definitely cast a negative light on the contracting community. As they dug deeper and started asking questions about how did Mr. Snowden get his clearance, you know, it was revealed that the investigation was done by another government contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the unfortunate incident with Aaron Alexis at the Navy Yard really did the same thing. Here's another contractor with privileged access to certain types of information at certain workplaces, and again was investigated by another contractor. And, you know, this has really cast a hugely negative light on the contracting community. So you add that along with the government shutdown and all the headache going on in Washington and on Capitol Hill at the White House, and you've got a really bad mix for trying to attract younger audience to government service, either as an employee or as a contractor.
You know, as we look at this, I don't think that people realize that, you know, that these small group of bad apples, you know, Snowden, Manning, and a number of other people are very much so doing damage and, you know, to credibility. But the credibility is one piece is being damaged. But as you mentioned before, Evan, it may be seriously that our national security is honestly being put at risk. You know, I also knew, you know, just people who work in the intel community who were analysts, who have been laid off, who are working on a number of different issues, who were laid off, and then very, very important issues who were laid off, were furloughed, I should say, with this. And that is, to me, very, very scary as we began looking at it. So we're talking about not being able to recruit some of the top talent, but then we're also talking about the talent that we currently have not being able to do their job to keep our nation safe. And you know, it just really does not feel as if people who are leading the government really have an understanding that we need to get this back on track.
Yeah, definitely agree. And I think, you know, we've been running the clearancejobs.com site for 11 years now and talking to, you know, hundreds of thousands of cleared people, both working for government as well as industry and contracting side. And really, only in the past couple months is the first time that we have ever heard people saying to us, you know what, I'm thinking about getting out of this world and going to work for the public sector, non-cleared, and just get out of it. And I think that, as we were just talking about a minute ago, there's this huge dark cloud that's hanging over government and the contracting world at this point. And 2013 has really been just such an awful year for this community, and the government shutdown, you know, heading into the last couple of months of the year has really shown that it's been an awful year. And hopefully in 2014, the government gets a little bit of a break and can kind of step back and fix some of these structural problems that are affecting this community.
You know, for the job seeker right now, Evan, you know, where are we at right now with the job seeker? You know, as I mentioned before in the beginning of the show, I know a number of people who have clearances who have been doing job searches, but, you know, all they're doing is getting a whole bunch of, you know, I know some people have 10, 20 contingent offers, which is great. You know, but the contingent offer is not an offer to start work, and they're not getting it. You know, they're laid off. A lot of people are, if they're laid off, they've been furloughed, or people are very concerned that they've seen some of their other colleagues get laid off and they think they are next. For the job seeker right now, what would you say to them? You know, are the jobs, you know, going to still be there when they come to your site? Will they still see the jobs? Are all these jobs really based on people waiting for funding from the government? You know, what's going on for them?
Well, you know, we still have just as many jobs posted now as we did a year ago, mm-hmm. or even a year before that. So there's still a lot of opportunity out there. I just think that where we're seeing a hold up is in contracts being awarded and funding actually making it out to the government contractors and subcontractors. You know, there's still a lot of opportunity out there. It's just it really has been dampened by what's gone on this year, especially with the budget issues. So, you know, as we look to 2014 and are talking to candidates, you know, preparation is key, and being ready for anything is really the way to kind of have a mindset. We have a lot of people that are in jobs, and even if they're getting furloughed, they still have their job. They're expecting to get back at some point, and they're saying that they're not necessarily looking for a job at this point. But you know, the bulk of people who come to us are people that are career minded. So whether they're actively looking for a new job or just kind of passively keeping the door open and figuring out what opportunities may be out there and trying to contact and people and make build up a network, they're out there. So there's definitely plenty of work to do. Even if someone's not actively looking for a new job, it makes a whole lot of sense to be proactive career-wise and really be ready for anything in 2014.
You know, there's a lot of I don't know if you've seen this, Evan, but of course, you've got a lot of people in military transition. I know you've seen that, but you also have a number of people who are getting out the government workforce, senior people who are getting out the government workforce, and that used to automatically be they went into the contracted community for a lot of them, not necessarily everybody, but a lot of them used to do that. Is that kind of a revolving door of people leaving government service and jumping into the contract community, is that still a viable option like it used to be, or does a person who's doing that or thinking about that, do they need to have some other options on the plate right now, whether it be going to higher education or the private sector or nonprofit? Do they need to open up their horizons a little bit more on this?
Well, you know, I think going from government service over to the contracting world is still an option, and you know, we see that happening on a daily basis, but without a doubt, there's a whole lot more competition, and employers are really being a lot more picky about who they talk to than they did in the past. Years ago, it was a candidate market. There were so many open job positions and so few candidates to fill them that candidates could almost name their salaries. Now, at this point, things have turned around. There's a ton of people looking for work. A lot of resumes out there, a lot of profiles out there, a lot of people who are hunting either actively or passively. And, the number of jobs, while still high, who knows what it could have been if we wouldn't have had all these issues in 2013. But there's a whole lot more competition out there. I think people that are job hunting have to be proactive, and they have to work on building up their own portfolio and branding themselves. Otherwise, there's 20, 30, 50 other people right behind them that are looking a whole lot better.
Wow. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Evan Lesson a little bit more about what's going on with the Clearance Jobs website. We're going to talk about also they've been doing something very, very unique with career fairs called Uncareer Fairs. We'll get some more information about that and how that's been going. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He is the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. And we've been talking about how the government shutdown, how the budget cuts and how sequester and all these other issues, the number of different things that has been going on in 2013 in terms of damaging the reputation of government, whether it be leaks or whether it be a certain kind of scandals or whatever the case is, it had an impact on the reputation of the government. And so we've been talking about these things and where do we go from here? We'll be right back after this break. We're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch from Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we've been having an interesting conversation, a very, very enlightening conversation on how government contractors and government agencies, how they're dealing with the government shutdown? You know, what's going on with the market, and also how they've been dealing with the reputation damage that's been happening because of not just a shutdown, a sequester, budget cuts, but a number of other things that's been going on throughout this year. But we're going to switch gears. And as we talk about this in terms of the job search, you know, we want to really talk about what people are doing, what tools are out there. And ClearanceJobs.com has this. We're talking to Evan Lesser. He's the founder and director of ClearanceJobs.com. They have a number of tools on their website. If you're a cleared candidate, either in the government, in the military, or in the government contracting community, they've been doing these unique career fairs, and they also have a number of tools on their website. Evan, talk to us about, I see you got some changes, and the website is ever evolving. Talk to us about what do you have on the website these days that are some excellent tools that when we get past this moment of government shutdown and the government is back on hiring, contractors are back hiring again, what can they do to use these tools in order to help them get the job they want?
Well, you know, Derek, I think our conversation today has really been about all the negative that's been going on. Surely 2013 has been a really difficult year for government and defense, intelligence, homeland security industries and its contractors. But employers are still hiring. There's still a lot of jobs out there, a lot of opportunity. The main difference is that there's just a whole lot more people looking at these opportunities. So in the past, where everyone had a job, everyone was fine with it, everyone was safe and secure, you know, it was definitely a different atmosphere. Now, everybody's looking. Everybody's got their toes dipped in the water to try to figure out what the climate is. And people have to do more for themselves and for their career in order to get noticed. So a couple of the things that we've got going are really kind of revolves around trying to separate an individual from the rest of the crowd. And part of that is a personal branding element. And if you think about the kind of standard resume of old, you had black text on a white page or two pages and, you know, bullet points about where you've been and what you did and what kind of education you had, maybe what skills you have, and that's it. But employers, as I mentioned a little earlier, are really getting very picky in terms of who they talk to and who they want to bring on board. What's happened over time is that the employers that bring on candidates and then those candidates leave at some point in the near future, in other words, a bad hire, is really costing companies dearly. And, you know, the global recession has not been easy on employers and HR departments either. So bringing on someone and then having them not work out and leave the company, you know, a few weeks or a few months later is a huge financial cost, big hit to productivity, big hit to employee morale. So employers are trying to figure out what they can do to learn more about candidates before they bring them on board. So as far as that personal branding element, what we've done on the ClearanceJobs website is we've given job seekers the ability to show off their personality, show off what preferences they might have in terms of a workplace, and also get in a little bit deeper in terms of exactly who that person is. So trying to go beyond the standard old resume. A couple of examples of that would be every job has a personality, just like every person has a personality. So a particular job may need a person that is more of a teacher, is going to be a more of a mentor, someone who's going to be spending time educating others within that organization. Some jobs may have really crazy hours, and they need someone who's really flexible, very open, and really doesn't let anything get to them. Maybe another job where the position is extremely challenging, either due to a lack of requirements or old technology, whatever the case may be, and they need someone who's really flexible. So what we've done on the ClearanceJobs side is we tried to give opportunities where candidates can actually express their own personalities, whether they're a mentor, whether they're more laid back and casual, whether they're a little bit more strict in terms of the type of workplace they like, and try to convey that directly on their profile. At the same time, you know, not just kind of like every job has a personality, every workplace has a personality as well. So sometimes an employer may be hiring for a workplace that is either extremely casual or extremely professional. Some workplaces have a really slow speed of change. Others are extremely fast. Some workplaces you have everybody's extremely buddy-buddy with each other, very close, very tight-knit group, and others where it's the exact opposite. So again, we're trying to let candidates kind of express their own preferences for workplace and also show off their personality, make sure that employers can get the best possible fit.
You know, with that, are you seeing that employers are liking this? I mean, are they, you know, where they're kind of doing, you mentioned about the bad hire scenario. Are you seeing that employers are really kind of now taking that time and examining somebody's personality and really kind of determining not just the skill set, which is very, very important in terms of technical skills, but that personality or that passion or that sense of purpose? Are they looking at those different variables now more?
It's really key. And I think, you know, one of the things that's kind of brought this to light has been how ubiquitous social media has gotten, and that everybody is sharing what they do and where they go and what, you know, information they're consuming and what they like and what they don't like and who they're with. And that self-expression is really kind of a basic human need and a human element. And when someone comes to a career site and they put on their resume, and the resume just says, you know, here's where I've been. I worked here from this date to this date, and these are the skills I've earned, or these are the certifications I've gotten, or here's my education. It just doesn't really show, you know, who that person is. Employers really want to know, you know, what motivates somebody. Where are they going in the future? You know, where do they want to go? Where do they see themselves in a few years? With the pool of candidates really getting large due to all these government issues and budget cuts, employers have a lot more candidates to look through, and they need something that can really try to differentiate one person from another. So the ability for an employer to see more about a candidate's personality and workplace preferences and get a better understanding about how they write or what they're thinking about or where their future lies has been really important for employers, and we've been really happy to kind of introduced that on the ClearanceJobs site, and we think it's paid off well.
Evan, got about 60 seconds. Talk to us about the Uncareer Fair real quick as we finalize.
Derek, same thing. Standard career fairs of old, lots of people waiting in line in suits and tie with, you know, black and white copies of the resume to hand out. Not cutting it anymore. Candidates don't want to stand in lines. They don't want to be kind of herded around like cattle. So Uncareer Fair that the ClearanceJobs site has been doing, we get 50 candidates and roughly 60 or 70 employers. Get them in a room together, very casual. Get them talking, no lines, no suits, just very casual. And again, employers are able to learn about someone's personality, which is really critical for making a good hire.
And this is really more targeted, meaning that you're trying to match the candidates with the employers first.
It really is. You know, speed dating has been a big thing over the years. This is what we call speed networking.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Evan, thanks so much for your insight. You know, we'll definitely be checking back in with you in the near future. But you've given a lot of people some great insight on where this market is. The key is that there's been some bad times, but hang in there. Thank you so much, Evan.
Always a pleasure, Derek.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.